So we're talking about Shir HaMala, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about gossip and Lashon Hara. You recognize this
All right.
picture? You seen this before?
Don't think so. I mean,
That's
that
a
looks
bit.
vague. You know, all of his, what's his name's art is very vaguely
No, it's
familiar.
Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, this is a famous one. It's a,
Saturday Evening Post or something.
yep, yeah, this is Saturday Evening Post, March 6, 1948.
Wow.
Okay, all the gossips. So we're talking about, we're going to talk about Lashon Hara. That's the whole thing there. You know, it starts from the person who gets back to their same person eventually. Can never escape Lashon Hara. We're going to go back to the very first of the Shir, about Shir HaMala. This is the beginning. Perek Kufchet. Starts at Shir HaMala. El Hashem b'tzara tali, karati. I called out to God in my pain and my troubles, ve'aneni, he answered. What's the trouble? Hashem itzila nafshi. God save my soul, my life, me misfat sheker, from the tongue of lying. Milashon remiah. From the lips of lying, from the tongue of evil, of deceit.
Yeah, I was going to say cheating.
Cheating. Yeah, there you go. This is Lashon Hara, right? We talked about how this, you know, the Medrash talked about the flood taking over, encompassing, enveloping David. He's going to drown. The metaphor for Lashon Hara and the fact that everyone's talking about him, especially in the aftermath of Bathsheba and everything that's going on there. This is explosive. This is a save me from the Sfat Sheker from Lashon Ramiya. We call it the gossip trap. That we talk about each other. That's all we do, right? We're social primates. We need to. We determine what we're worth by what we think other people think about us. And that's Sartre's famous line about hell is other people.
No exit.
Yes. Have you read it? Have you seen it?
I probably read it a long time ago.
So the hell other people doesn't mean that other people are bad people. It's just the fact that we live in a life in which our identity, our existence is determined by what other people see in us.
Yeah.
And if you're an existentialist like Sartre, that your goal is to be as an authentic human being as you can, that is what hell is, right? Another exit play by Sartre illustrates the fact that others in their gaze, what alienates and locks me in a particular kind of being, which in turn deprives me of my freedom. Now, this is a summary of that. But that's what we live, and that you can't escape it because you don't want to. You like talking to other people and being
That's
talked to.
our social environment.
That's who we are, right? So it isn't really hell. That's heaven. That's what we want. That's what Twitter's all about, right? Just making that perfect state of everyone talking about everyone simultaneously. And so that this so that in here at the Hillel, he's asking for help. So I tell the karate, I call out, I can't get out myself, I can't do it. And then it continues on when it talks to Lashon Hara itself. That's the next pasuk is my yiten lacha, what can I give you? My yosif lacha, what can I add for you? Lashon Ramiya. Oh, tongue of deceit. And the Gemara and Erchin describes this pasuk. What does it mean? What does it mean to ask the speech? Ask speech. What else do you want? This is like Hashem talking to the tongue. All the other limbs of a person have to stand up, have to do work. And you're just laying around. All the other limbs are outside, are exposed. And you're inside. Not more than that, I tried to seal you up within between two walls. One of bone, one of flesh, behind teeth, behind the tongue. What can I do? Hashem is asking the, right? Hashem is saying, I don't know what to do about this anymore. Tried to lock the tongue up, but no, it keeps getting out and keeps causing trouble. My lacha, what can you do? Shem's at a loss. If we eliminate our need to talk about others, we're not human anymore. You can't stop us from talking. That's who we are. Famous Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, this quoted art scroll. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Tavi Avde. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel asked Tavi, who's his famous slave, who's very wise. Huksu vinli tzadu tava. Go get me something good to eat from the market. Nafak, he went out. Zavin le lasha, and he bought him a tongue. My wife won't eat tongue, but.
I will not eat tongue either.
Oh,
When I first
okay.
saw it, I said, there's no way I'm eating that. It looks just like tongue. It is tongue. I said, no, I'm not eating it.
It is. It
That's too
looks
gross
just like what it
for
says, yes. Okay, so beef tongue, not bad. So that's what he was asked, get me good food, and he brings back a tongue. I'm gonna lay. So Rav Shimon Gamliel figures that Tavi's got a lesson here, right? He says, why is slaves? He probably means something here. So he says, bisha. Go get me something bad to eat from the market. Naflex goes out, Lashon, and he goes out and buys him a tongue. Amarle is Shimon. Shimon asks Tavi, Mahudin dacharana, what's going on? Dacharana mar lachatzadu. When I asked you to buy something good, you bought me a tongue. And when I amar lachatzadu bisha, when I get you ask you to get me something bad, atzavin li lashon. You also bought me a tongue. Amarle, so Tavi says back. Mina tivta, mina bishta. It's both good and bad. Depends what you do with it. Tadutav, when it's good, la tave, la late tave mine. There's nothing better than that. Kadbish, and if it's bad, late bish mine, there's nothing worse. Power speech can be infinitely good or infinitely bad. But we tend to use it for bad. And so the parrot continues, Kitsegi borshuninim. The arrows of the powerful are sharp. Im gachalei retamim, with the coals of retamim, are translated as the broom tree. I'm not sure what kind
What's it translated
of.
as?
The broom tree. I pull this up. I don't know exactly. I should have looked up what a broom tree is, shouldn't I? Let's go. Right, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of the broom tree.
I don't know what a broom tree is, but
I don't know, but the main thing is that what is a broom tree?
that's very pretty.
I guess they make brooms out of it. It's a shrub of heath, open gorse, has bright yellow flowers, no spine, smells of vanilla. Okay.
It looks pretty, I
The
don't know.
Retama Retam, which is Retam, that's what the name comes from. It's a scientific name. But the main thing that, in terms of this metaphor of the sharp arrows and the coals of the broom tree, is that it smolders for a long time. It's like a tire fire. You know, you can't put it out, it just goes on and on. That's the metaphor of Lashon Hara. So the Gemara talks about, assumes that this is talking about the Hashem, that Hashem has answered David, and he's going to attack this Lashon Hara with these Kitzei Gibor, with the arrows of the Gibor. That's Hashem. Amarav Chista, Amarav Ukva, Kol Lashon Hara. Anyone who says Lashon Hara, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeGehenam. Hashem says to Gehenna, address Gehenna, says, Ani Alav Mamala, I'll take him out from above, Vatalav Milmata. And you'll take him out from below. We will
Who's the
destroy
one taking him out from below?
the Gehenna.
Oh, got him. Okay,
Fire is
yeah.
going to take out this
Oh, I see.
evildoer, someone
Okay.
who will serve Lashon Hara, Idanuhu, and we will judge him. Each from my one side, it says, it's the arrows of the mighty are sharp, Im Gachalei with the coal, the smoldering coals. In Chetzel Lashon, here, and the Chetzel arrow here is the tongue, and Chinemra says, Chetzel Lashonam, that their tongue is a slaughtering arrow, Mirmad Diber, they speak deceit. In Gibor al Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem, the Gibor here is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. As it says, Hashem Gibor Yatzah, and the Galachir Rachamim, the fires of the coals, the embers that are burning, that's Gehenna. So at that point of view, that's reading this pasuk as being positive. Hashem is going to take out the, we're going to punish the one who says Lashon Hara. The tenor of the whole parak goes against that. It seems to be he's complaining about the Lashon Hara. And it takes the medrash that we're going to quote, takes the arrows and coals as being the Lashon Hara, the gossip itself, and starts looking at the Yaakov's blessings to Yosef. That's this week's parsha, Vayechi. It talks about how Yosef had all these brachos, but that the archers hated him. That's the word says, Vayistimuhu balei chitzim. The medrash explains, what's Vayistimuhu balei chitzim? The archers hated, him. Elu balei mechitzo. These are his colleagues. Sheshlichu alav devarim kashim kachetz, who said things as harsh as arrows. As it says, chitegi borshanim, that the arrows, the mighty, are sharp. That's talking about Lashon Hara. They said Lashon Hara. Umara alam nashlan bachetz. So why would the metaphor be to an arrow as Mikol Klezayin as opposed to some any other metaphor? Right? How sharper than a serpent's tooth and a thankless child, right? We've got other metaphors we could use. Why arrows? Mikol Klezayin makim b'makomam. But most weapons cause damage. They attack right where they are. Zeh makim rachok. But arrows can hurt far, far away. Kach lo shen hara. So too is Lashon Hara. The Amar Baromi Bekata Basturia. They can say he started a rumor in Rome and the victim dies in Syria. That's Chetz Chachud. Lashon Hara has no limits in space. And Lashon Hara is like this Gachalei Ratamim, the Rotem tree coals. Look, Kachol Gachalim. And it's not like any other coal or ember. Elke Gachalei Ratamim. Because any other ember eventually goes out inside. But these embers, even if it looks like it's completely extinguished on the outside, still is smoldering on the inside. Like I said, a tire fire is like that. So too, listening to Lashon Hara means, even if you try to console the other person, and the person says, don't worry about it, it's done. I didn't put everything in, it still burns. It's still there. There was this one retem tree, that they tried to put out the fire there, but stayed burning for another 12 months. Winter, summer, and Lashon Hara has no limits in time and space. It goes on.
You know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because when you think about the burning bush that doesn't burn out.
Ah, interesting. That's the opposite model. Okay, so you have the.
You know, you think of, you know, being inspired.
Ah,
you know,
ah, I didn't think about
being in the presence of light and God, and not being destroyed by it.
Yes, it's the opposite. Same thing. This is right. Lashon Hara is the other burning bush.
Yes.
That's flip side.
That, you know, this is like the burning bush.
Yeah. This is the flip side of it. Right. This is bad.
Yeah.
Hashem supports me as well. Right.
That's sort of goes like that. The guy brought tongue for both things, because it's right. Like anything could be used for good or evil. You know, you could have Lashon HaTov, you know.
That's true. So we have to worry about that. So there's no, you can't just get rid of it entirely because there is the good there.
Yeah.
So Devi continues in his perek here. He says, Oyali ki garti meshech, oyve, woe is me because I have lived in meshech, shachanti ohale kedar, I have dwelled among the tents of kedar. So where are meshech kedar? Why is so bothered by live there? So if you look in Tanakh, Meshach is one of the brothers of Yavan, of Greece. It's one of the descendants of Yefet, the son of Noah, sort of the model of Europe. It says, Eila to the B'nei Noach, Shem, Macham, Yefet. Noach had three sons, and they had their own children, and B'nei Yefet, the sons of Yefet, were Gomer, Umagog, Umadai, Rabbi Persia, Yavan, as Greece, with Tevel, Umeshach, and here's our Meshach, with Tiros, I don't know where the other places are. But somehow, from a tripartite world, this is Europe. And Kedar specifically
was Asian, For Asia.
I would say Shame was Asia.
Oh, you thought Shame was Asia?
Yeah, so yeah, it did being Yavan.
Interesting.
Mean, you got right, you have definitely have Yavan there. The idea that Greece is there and
I
over
thought
there.
Shame was for like the Semites.
Yeah.
Where's Shame?
That's sure, that's Assyria, Israel. And Kedar specifically was one of the descendants of Ishmael.
Kedar was what?
One of the descendants of Ishmael, right?
Oh,
Her English
Ishmael.
name
Okay, yeah.
Ishmael, Yeshmael's sons, Bishmael, Tom, and their names, Bechor, Ishmael, and Nebaiot, those are the oldest, but Kedar is the next, Adbel, Mibsam. So you could take these, I have the other one, Meshech and Kedar, as being prophetic merism, substitution based on association.
Interesting.
Metonym, not merism. I gotta change that. I'm saying merism, the wrong word there. It's a metonym.
What should that word be?
Metonym.
Metonym?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, metonymy.
Right. A group giving different applied to a word that comes from the idea of so by association.
Oh,
I suppose it's like a metaphor,
yeah.
which is a similarity. Okay, so I should change that. Let me do There we go.
Good.
Better name. Okay, for sort of Meshech, again, way I would always read it as being Europe, so that comes like Christianity. Kedar is Ishmael and Islam there, and they're there before Hashem would go in that direction, but I think there's a different symbolism there. Why is he talking about I'm gone as far as Meshech and Kedar? Because really, Israel historically is supposed to go Nahar Mitzrayim and Nahar Gadol, the Har Parat, right from the Nile to the Euphrates. And these are not
Where did
borders.
we get that from? Bereishit?
Yeah, that's in Brit Benabatarium.
Oh, Bereishit.
Right? Natazach Ha'aretz, Min HaHar
That would make Israel much bigger than it is now.
Mitzrayim. Right, so we talked before, we put Rabbi Liebtag that basically those are not borders. Right? In Brit Benabatarium, Ha'aretz is defined as the land between the Nile and Euphrates. Those rivers, they're not borders. Never in the history of mankind have these rivers marked the borders of a single country. In the middle of both of those areas, not the outside. These rivers mark the two centers of ancient civilization, right? From Mesopotamia, Nahar Parat, Tamar
Yeah.
Mitzrayim. Okay, that's what it means. You're gonna be between the two great civilizations. You mean the crossroads of civilization. That's what Eretz Israel is. And your influence will extend to both sides. So the civilized world goes from Euphrates to Nile. That's what that means. So the contrast here is between the civilized nations and these nomads in Arabia, the barbarians in Europe, right? Meshech is there. Okay, we have this quote from Yeshaya. It says that I will bring you back. The exiles will come from far away. They will come from the north and the west, which again, Mesopotamia, north, Egypt, west. They're not arbitrary countries. They'll come from there. Ume ve'ele, and there are those who will come to Eretz Sinim, and there others will come to the land of the Sin, which I don't think Yeshaya meant China, but it should. It's that sense of even further away, outside of civilization. So that's what this means over here. And I found this great cartoon map from some Russian guy. This is a Karta Mali Aji, Antikva and Antich Nist. An ancient Asia Minor. And I put the little lines here, right? There's the Nile.
What's the cartographer's background? Do we know?
I have no idea. Is this a user? VK is some Russian social media thing. So I have no idea.
Yeah,
I've
because
got the cartoon.
this looks like Cyrillic to me.
Yeah, it is. It's Russian. But he's got, I don't know where he got this map from. And it's a cartoon, so it's cute. But I put the lines on here that go from civilization on the Nile to civilization in Mesopotamia. And I'm
So
saying
you
this is
have
Meshech over
Cyrillic.
here. And that's Kedar over here. Completely orthogonal in different directions.
The Arabian Desert, Kedar, what's over here?
So Kedar is the Arabia.
And what's the other side?
That's Meshech over here, heading toward
Oh,
Greece. As Disraeli pointed out when somebody supposedly talked about how I'm English, you're Jewish. He says, yes, I'm a Jew, and the ancestors of the Right Honorable Gentleman were brutal savages in an unknown island. I'm a priest in the Temple of Solomon. Okay, Europe was the barbarians at this point. So I think that's the point he's making, is that he has been as far as Meshech and as far as Kedar. He's been off the beaten path, perpendicular to any to the, where real people would live. And he's been among the barbarians. You know something? The Jews are worse. Their Lashon Hara is worse. We're calling them barbarians, right? The problem Lashon Hara, Sinas Chinam, is much worse here in Israel. That's what he says. Where are we at? Oh yeah, ki gargi meshech. Woe is me, because I've lived on in Meshech, shachanti mehalei Kedar. I've dwelled among the tents of Kedar. And then he continues, Rabat shachnala nafsi im shonei shalom. But I've spent too much time living among those who hate peace. Ani shalom. I try to be embodiment of peace. And then whenever I speak, Himal Milchama, they're all talking of battle or of war. I can't get, no one wants, I'm trying to speak, I need to bear, right? I'm supposed to use my tongue for good, but it doesn't help. So the Malbim says, Rabat, unusual word, means a lot. Ra'azu Rabayoter, this terrible thing, it's even worse than I can imagine. What is it? Masha Shachnan La Nafshi Im Sarei Shalom, that I'm living among those who hate peace. When I'm living among my brothers, among Bnei Yisrael, and they hate peace. And that's worse than anything that I would have seen in Kedar and Meshech, and these supposed barbarians. Why? Ki ani shalom, because I am peace. I am all for peace. I am keeping my peace with them. I'm trying to be good. Give the very mahem, shalom hema. When I speak of peace with them, hema yidabru shalom lemilchama. They'll pay it back with fighting. Nia adaber b'tochi gvari, that I speak and my inside's like my outside. I'm being honest about it. Yidabru shalom. They may speak of peace. Yasimu arbam v'sinat chinam. And they are laying, they are ambushing me with this sinas chinam, pointless hatred. So garui meshach kadar, and that's worse than meshach and kedar. Shiratam guluya, because whatever they're doing bad, they're attacking they're preying on other people. It's obvious. It's out there. Yadati let's have my ratam, and I can be careful. What I'm seeing here among Bnei Israel is worse. That's the Lashon Hara. And the perek ends there. Doesn't, it's a
This
very
is
short
basically
perek.
David wrote this, right?
Yeah. It's very negative. Okay, it doesn't end on a helpful note. But realizing that this is the first of Shir HaMaalot. So the first step in a process. We're going to get there. Things are going to look up. We'll get better. So if we go through this list of Shir HaMaalot, Shirei HaMaalot, the next parak, 121, is Esa and Eni Eni Esa Ezri. We know this, right? I'm looking for help. Where do I find it? And we dealt with it in a previous shir. It's about having faith in Hashem, knowing that God will come. Then comes the next 122 is Samachti Ba'omrim Li Beit Hashem Nelech. Right? Omrim Li, they're telling me we're gonna go to Beit Hashem. So here we got the Lashon doing good. And we see that when it's kind of when the Lashon is good, there's nothing better than that. So things will get better. I'm not going to go through those again because we talked about before. I'm going to go to the next paragraph, 123. And this is looking at what do I do when I'm surrounded by this Lashon Ramiya, the gossip, the chaos. I'm drowning. So start Shir HaMelech. Elecha nasati yedeini, hayashiv hashamayim. I look to you. I lift my eyes to you who dwells in heaven. That's the answer to Esa enai alari, me'anya yovo ezri. Where is my help coming? Here's the answer. Elecha nasati yedeini, look to God. And then he continues. Hinei chenei avadim yad adonaihem. Like the eyes of the slave to the hand of their master. The eyes of a maidservant to her mistress. So too we look to you, God, until you have pity on us. And we have to note there are two different metaphors for our relationship with Hashem. Right? The Inei Abadim. And we say this in Musaf and Rosh Hashanah. Yomarat Alam. Hayom Ha'amib B'Mishpat. Kol Yitzuri Alamim. Im kabanim, im kavadim. Are we like children or like slaves? Im kabanim, rachmina krachim abanim. If we are like children to you, then have pity on us, like a father to their children. Im kavadim, but if we're like slave, einenu lachatz liyo, we look to you. That's a quote from our parent. Ad shechanenu, until you have some kind of mercy, pity on us. Vatzinu kor mishpatenu, ayam kadosh. You are awesome. And here, he's only expressing one of those. We are just kavadim. And that's the point. And more than that, we're not looking to Hashem. We're looking al yad adonaihem, to the hand of the master, al yad gvirta, to the hand of the mistress.
So then we're the servants.
Right, we're just the servants. And I would translate to the slaves. This is completely under control here. And the yad
I was
here,
trying to put a positive face on it.
Yeah, I know. We're not there yet, right? We're kind of moving slowly that we've got some answer here. We're going to look to Hashem, but we're looking at the Yad here. As the Radak says, Shiakota, right? The hand is what holds the whip. We're looking at being slaves.
No, but the only reason I added that is because don't we say that Hashem was Eved, what the Moshe was Eved Hashem?
Yep. And it kind of comes, you know, about, yeah.
Yeah.
But not say bad, but it's controlling.
Yeah.
We don't have a choice in the matter. Okay, yeah, yeah, I don't give it, right? But that's the point. So yeah, cool. They're looking at the hand. That's kind of manning the whip or the rein. That even though it's the same hand bearing the whip, we still have to ask Hashem for the mercy. Yarpuya Adam to soften their hand, mayhem. So with us, me, hikanu, umi, natina bagalut. Who is the one who is punished? Who's putting us in exile? That's Hashem. That's the one shirachem alein. That's when we have to ask for pity for. The way I would read this is kind of the flip side. We talk about there's the gossip trap where there's chaos and everyone's talking about everybody else and there's no law, there's no rule. And the opposite is Hobbes Leviathan. We've talked about that before. Hobbes, the political philosopher, Leviathan was at the state, controls everything. Everyone has their place. There's an absolute ruler, an absolute dictator. Because if everything's falling apart, this Lashon Remiya of the previous parak, then we need some kind of rule there. That's the absolute rule of the dictator to pull us out. We're asking that dictator be Hashem, not a human tyrant. And we see that when it talks about in Devarim, when it says Hashem, Halu Avicha Konecha, he is your father and your owner, literally. And both of those things are true. And the Midrash asks, Im Avicha Lama Konecha, Im Konecha Lama Avicha, wait, why do you need both the Av and the Koneh metaphor here? It was Man Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shal Makom, but when we're doing Hashem's will, Umrachem Aleim Ke'av Al Banim. That would be a good place to be. But if they don't do his will, Rodeo Tanka Evan, he oppresses them, beats them like a slave. Just like a slave has no choice in the matter, whether he wants to or not, he has to serve. Okay, now Tem Tasuris Nosha Makom Batova Shlo Batova Al Karcha. And that's the place we're looking at here. Soloveitchik's famous line from Rupture and Reconstruction. You've read that essay?
I don't think so.
First thing, it's talking, it was written in the 80s. It's about the transformation of contemporary orthodoxy. Losing kind of the what he calls the mimetic tradition of Europe, where you did what your parents did. You no longer knew what that was. So now we kind of look at books and we're much more machmir now than anything that was before. But he puts it, having lost the touch of his presence, they seek now solace in the pressure of his yoke. And that's what this parak is here. We're looking at the yoke here. That's the, as we're asking for chen, which is undeserved. It's chinam. It's not rachamim from rechem, from the womb of a parent. But still, we accept the Evet side of it. And then he continues in this parak, continues, Chaneinu Hashem, Chaneinu, give us chen, give us pity. He robs Savannah Vuz because we have taken too much of this humiliation. Question is too much. Rabat Sabadla Nanafshenu. You have that word Rabat again, which really means too much, more than Rav. It's a state of being Rav, of being Allah. It's filled our souls. We're full of this. Halag hashananim, the hatred of those who are showing off. Habuz the geonim, the humiliation of the haughty ones. That's the Malbim explain Rabat. Say Rava gadol yoter. This is just he's getting too much. We'll take anything to make it stop. Masha sabad lanav shenu. Our souls are full of this. Masha laga et shel shuan shel hashananim. Let me translate shananim. There we go. Rabat Seva, the scorn of those who are at ease. Those who are resting. We're stressed. They're just lying back. Lagim al Sartano, they're mocking our trouble. Nasebuz legeonim shebahem, and this is the contempt. Like, that's the core translation. Contempt of the proud ones. Shebele gaiva shebenehem, that the proud was among them. Vazimotam, they're not even mocking us, they're mocking the Shananim, that they're even paying attention to the Jews. That they're bothering paying.
What's the Shananim? Isn't that Rose or something?
That's Shoshana. That's two shins and a nose.
What's Shananim
then? Shananim translates though as those who are at ease.
Oh, those at ease.
Right, Shananim, those who are resting.
Okay.
Those who don't have troubles, right? We have Sarod. They are Shana, they are, here's what that is in modern Hebrew.
The leisure class.
There you go. Carefree in modern Hebrew, Shana. Chaser da'aga. There you go. They're going so far as to mocking the people who even bother mocking us. Right? That's a second. They're doing the second degree of lashon hara. Like, don't even pay attention to them. Right? That you're what simu leiv alog me'am shafel kazeh, that you're bothering to mock such a lowly nation. We're not worth anything in their eyes. Afdi no se'al log, not even be the worth the subject of gossip, of mockery. Just like a person, an important person will scorn. Won't bother making fun of someone who's really low because it's beneath their notice. And the parak ends. Again, on a negative note. Right? We end with this. Rabat sabad hanafshenu. Allah gashananim. Right? It's too much. We've taken too much. So we've gone from the Misfat Sheker Mishon Rimiyah, we've got the Asanaya Harim, we've moved on to the hope of Samachti Bamrim, and then we end up with the Hineka of Ene Avadim al Yad Adonaihem, and we look at them, you're going to save us. We're looking to you like slaves. Look to the eye, the hand of their master. It's not a good answer, but at least it's an answer. Hashem is our master, Hashem will protect us. And it leads us from the drowning in gossip, which is the next parak, which is called Dalet, which we did last time, and we're saved. And we said, there, apach nishbar, the trap is broken, nachnu nimlatu, we have been rescued. So the next parak came, talking building Yerushalayim. Har Tzion lo yimot, and then it's Shuv Hashem, Yachivat Tzion, and then Kuf Kuf Zion is Lo Hashem, you've been by Hashem's new build the house. And this series ends in Kuf 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 Chav Chet with the Yivrecha Hashem Yitzion. God bless you, Yitzion, right? We've gotten to that point. We're past the drowning in the gossip trap.
Danny, that's the song that we sang in Yom HaTzmaut.
Yivrecha Yitzion, Arei B'tuv Yerushalayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. God will look the good of Yerushalayim all day. Arei Banim L'Vanecha Hashem Yisrael, everything is at peace. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Shalom Israel. But it's a relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Kenei Avadim. We're not at that next level there. It's a relationship of Midat HaDin. Right? Hashem protects Zion. It's this place where the serfs living in the manner of the Lord. And in this metaphor of Ma'alot, of steps moving up, is the first flight of stairs. We're at a landing. We haven't gotten to the real Beit HaMikdash yet. We can't stop there. A quote of Rav Dessler before.
So we're basically walking out of the basement.
We've got out of the basement, right? We're at the first landing here, but we're not getting the Beit HaMikdash yet. We're not really where we need to be. We've got to show them straight out, right? Gotten out of the gospel, but still, it's the Avadim. And Rav Dessler talks about this. We quoted him before. We talked about David HaMelech building the Beit HaMikdash. That David, had David built the Beit HaMikdash, it would have been a Beit HaMikdash of Midat HaDin, which would not have been good for Bnei Yisrael, because if Bnei Yisrael sin, then Bnei Yisrael would be wiped out. The Beit HaMikdash would have survived. But if you got into a higher level, you could have gotten to this relationship with Hashem and building Beit HaMikdash of Ahava, we call Midat Rachamim. As we talked about before. Because then we could have had a Beit Midrash that would last forever. Without any worry about whether Bnei Yisrael would deserve it, could they be wiped out? That's what when the Ramban said, David couldn't have built a Beit Midrash because he was holding on to this Midat HaDin. He didn't get to that next step. And that's what it says that Damim Rabim Shafakta, you spilled blood. That was Ramban took that as a symbol of his Midat HaDin. Now, even though it was a karban, in the sense it was a gift to God, Hashem's not rejecting him because of this Midat HaDin, because of the wars he fought, but it was something that Bnei Yisrael couldn't have handled. It was still Midat HaDin. So we're only there. We're halfway through the Shir HaMaalot. So we finish with one more. Another short one, right? Kuf Chav Chet 128 is the Reivanim Levanecha Shalom Yisrael. The next one almost starts again from the bad. It looks at the history of Bnei Yisrael, or looking at the history of David. You can look at it. You can read Tehillim either from the view of the individual or the community, and starts out Shir HaMaalot, Rabat Sarini Minarai. I've had too much, same word, that Rabat there, coming up again. Too much, the troubles I've seen since have been too much since my youth. Yomar Yeh Yisrael. Yisrael, you need to say this now. This is the Tilim addressed to the audience. Rabat Sarei Menorai, kind of a chiasm, go back to that. Gam Lo Yachluli, but they haven't wiped me out. You saw that, if you remember from Parak. The previous shiur when we had 124 Parakuf Chav Dalet, when it says Lule Hashem Shayalanu Yomar Na Yisrael, same thing. God had been with us. Says now Israel, you need to say it and realize it. Lule Hashem Haglanu Kumalene Adam. When people came against us, that kind of chaotic opening there. But Israel, you need to realize what's happened. And this is Rabat Shuruni Minarai, that my troubles have been great and too much since my youth. I'm looking back. We're saved now, but still things were bad. And the Radak explains the mashal. Yimshili mea galut mea adam. So he's looking at this, the idea of galut is like the like a life of a person. So the analogy to beginning is our time when our youth. We're old now. That's because the galut lasted so long. He says, that from the very beginning, we've had all these troubles and everything's causing us trouble. So we're thanking Hashem now in this parak. They were wiped out. That they caused us trouble from the beginning. Still, they haven't destroyed me. That's what this is. So the parak specifically has a metaphor.
I say that just reminds me of what we say on Hanukkah.
That's on. We say that on and on Pesach.
No, I thought we did that also in Hanukkah.
Yeah. That's originally from the Haggadah.
I know, but they also made it to a Hanukkah song.
You can certainly do that. Right. That's the Shrekki. There's a Shrekki one, right?
Yeah.
But the metaphor gets interesting. So the next part of the parak, after it says, okay, remember Israel, remember your youth when things were bad, but we're still here. And he continues, agabe, agabe, agabai, parshu harashim. That they tried to plow on my back. The metaphor now is that we are the oxen pulling the plow. The farmer is beating us and abusing us. Harichu lamanu, lamanitam, and the furrow goes on and on. It's too long. But Hashem tzaddik, Hashem's righteous, kitzetz avot rishaim, and he breaks the ropes of the evil ones, right? We're tied to this plow, Radak said, Lamanitam, to the pharaoh. This is the line that a plowman plows with his oxen in the field, a pharaoh. Kashir, Shir says, as long as he wants to go, then you turn around, then you do another one right next to it. And you keep doing it until you plowed the whole field, one line at a time. And however long that furrow is, that's how much the ox has to work. You don't get to rest until you reach the end of that plow. So they were making it go on and on. They keep abusing us. Because they can't rest until they get to the end of the line. So when the pasuk says that they made their furrow long, that means that we never got a chance to rest from their work and from their oppression. So we're almost released from the anarchy, from this, the gossip trap, the state of nature, from Parakuf. But now we're stuck to the tyranny. We're animals now, right? We are too far in the limitations. If we have no independence of thought, we're nothing more than animals. Hashem released us from that as well. That's the kitzetz avot harasha'im. He cut the ropes of the evil ones. And so enemies can abuse us. And so in the metaphor, they're trying to use us to plow, and if that crop fails. So although those who hate Zion, they will be humiliated, they'll be turned back. Yukachatsir gagot, they'll be like grass, growing, scat, you know, their harvest will be like grass growing on the roof. Tekid mashalaf yavesh, that before it can even be harvested, it dries out. Just weeds growing in the cracks. Shalom malei kapo koser, and the harvester will not be able to fill his hands with it. The chetano me ma'amer, and this chetan seems to be part of something that you carry stuff in. It's an unusual word, but
I like a bag or something.
Yeah, so his Yeshai used the same word from talking about the being saved, right? They're coming back home, Hashem Elkim. Nia said El Goyim Yadi, I will put my hand against the nations. Bel Amim Arim Nisi, and I will raise my flag on the nations. If you banecha b'chotzer, and they will themselves will bring back your children in their chotzer, their baby carrier, translated as the bosom of of the shirt. Umaritecha al katef, and they'll carry your daughters on their shoulders. Tina sena, they will carry. So that here, shalomale, that they'll have nothing to put in their chotzer, nothing to have in their hands. The crop will fail entirely. It won't be an omer of wheat. And so, and it ends at that point. Hashem will save us from the being the oxen. And those who pass by will not say, "Give the bracha of Hashem to you." They won't say, "Baruch Hashem to you." We bless you in the name of God. They won't say that. And the point that that makes is that if Hashem's making it so that Hashem, they will not say, "Baruch Hashem." To these, our enemies who are oppressing us. The implication that these enemies are not outside nations, but fellow Jews. They should be bringing each other with Berachat Hashem, and they're not. We come back to this Berachat, B'Shem Hashem. Back in Perek Chaf Dalet, it was Shem Hashem, Baruch Hashem, B'Shem Hashem, that broke us out of the trap. We said that Baruch Hashem, thank God. Shul Tanu Teref L'Shinehem, we were not prey to their teeth. Nafshina Kitsipurn and Mata, we escaped from the trap like a bird, we pachim from the trap of the trappers. Apachnishbar, the trap is broken, Banachim Latu, we have escaped. Azraina Bashem Hashem, you've helped us in the name of God, Ashmaivar, to create a land on earth. We start with Shem Hashem. And this now, the Shem Hashem is what's Kitsetza Vot Rashem. It's breaking the bond, the ropes of the evil ones. And we start the series with the Agada. About David and the flood waters about to cover the world, and he uses that same Hashem to control the waters. This is where to quote that same Gemara in Sukkah. Patev Shem Akaspa, he wrote the name Shem Hashem on a shard. He studied the Tahoma and threw it into the deeps. Nichei Tahoma, so the waters settled down. Shitar Al Pegar Midi went down 16,000 amot. When David saw that it had gone down so far, Amari said, well, really, I don't want the water so far away, because the further up it's drawn, the world is better watered. I'm going to turn the world into a desert if I don't have any water. So Amar Chamesh Esrei Mala, so the 15 Shira Mala, were there to kind of restore the balance. Baskei Chameser Alpha Garmide, and they came back up 15,000 amot. Ukmi Baalpha Garmide, and it remained 1,000 amot below. So we're not in danger of being flooded, but there's still some of that moisture there. And that's this balance between the gossip trap and Leviathan. That's why you have to read this metaphor here between the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga. And that Migdal Bavel. So the compromise there involves calling out B'Shem Hashem. We need to get it, bring Hashem into our lives. And that's what Avraham did. Looking back at the Tower of Babel, looking back at the flood, it was Avraham that pulled the world out of that. And that's exactly what he did. By taking B'Shem Ahara, this is Avraham. He went up there. He went down to the mountains around Beit El. Semicolon in the wrong place. See me editing in real time here. There we go. Beit El, Yam. So he pitched his tent between Beit El and the west, Ayim Kedem and Ayim East. And he built an altar there. By Krab Hashem Hashem, that's the important line. Abraham's job is to call out Hashem Hashem. And that is a very specific meaning. What does it mean, especially here, when it says, talks about the Ovrim are going to say Berachat Hashem. Berachnu Atchem Beit Hashem. The passersby will bless you with Shem Hashem. That should sound familiar.
It's a Kiddush Hashem.
Yes, but specifically it comes from Ruth.
It comes from Ruth?
Yeah. This is when she meets Boaz for the first time. Correct that. B'nei Boaz ba mi Beit Lechem. So Boaz is coming out from Beit Lechem. He's coming to the fields. Vayomer lo kotzrim Hashem imachem. And he tells the harvesters, God is with you. Vayomer lo yirach Hashem. They tell him, God should bless you. Yirach Hashem. That's how they greet each other. In Gemara and Bracha, Shmuley says about this.
When they mean kotzrim, they're talking about the gleaners, or they're actually talking about the kotzrim?
The kotzrim, the guys working.
The workers, okay.
Right. So Rud is behind, is following the kotzrim.
Right.
Lead. But he's just talking to his workmen.
Okay.
Yirach Hashem, Hashem Machem. Let's call it Hashem Hashem. The Mishnah says about this, Hitkino, that this was a takana. Say Adam Sho'el Shalom Chaveru B'Shem. That a person should greet them, someone else with Shem Hashem. Says, V'nei Boaz Ba'mi Beit Lechem, V'yomer L'Kotzrim Hashem Machem, V'lo Yirach Hashem. Now, even though you're using God's name, it's still okay, but this is important. Figure out why. But it says about this, this is specifically the use of the idea of Eit L'Sot L'Hashem, Hefiru Torotecha. It's time to act for God's sakes. We have uprooted your Torah. We have done this. Rabbi Natan Omer, Hefiru Torotecha, they uproot the Torah, Eit L'Sot L'Hashem, because it is time to act for the God's sake. The Rambam explaining this. That the kind of you should use God's name in greeting someone else. You might say it's a, you know, let's use that shame. Nope, this is too important. Shalom. And what was the name of God that they were using? The answer was shalom. The word shalom, Hushem Mishmot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You greet someone else with the word shalom. You wish someone else shalom. And this is the way. Dov Levanon, who is
the power of the prayer.
Right, I'm just thinking where he's from. I'm trying to remember where he is. Okay. He's a rabbi. But I like the way he puts it. HaMishnah Omeret, the Mishnah says, like the Kanazu, Ora Nire Kazilzu B'Shem Shamayim. This the kind of saying, using Hashem's name to greet other people. B'Shem Hashem sounds like it's disparaging God's honor. Too casual. It's Hashem Hashem Hashem. Ke'en hafrata Torah. So it's like it's upbringing the Torah. Ulam bar Rashi. Rashi comes ulam denu shezer rak nireh ke. This only appears that way. Aval be'emet zeh ratzer Hashem l'chatchila. And we really, God wants us to do this. The Lashono, this is what Rashi says, she adam shu'el shalom chaveru b'shem b'shemur shal karsh baruch. You should use the name. Lor mi mezal zel hu b'chvodom shal makom. B'chvil chvod ha-briyot. Lo tzi shem shamayim alav. It's not a... The zilzo is not disrespectful to God. Because the very act of asking shalom for your friend, for someone else, that's Ratzon Hashem. We need the shalom ben Adam l'chavero before we can have shalom with Hashem. That's what it means, that we're supposed to seek out peace, shalom, and chase after it. So we can do this, that looks like it's wrong, but we're emphasizing how important shalom is. So that's the next step in the Shir HaMalo. We've got to get to that point here. Now we start moving up from the Midat HaDin, relationship with God, to Midat Ahava, in order to get to the final conclusion, which is going to be, you know, when we get to the end of the Shir HaMalo, the last one is kind of the introduction to Hallel. The second to last one, really the climax of it, is the Hine Matov Manayim Shevet Achim Gamiachad. We have to get to that point. And then we've climbed up all the way into the Beit HaMikdash. We're not there.
That's also in Shir HaMalo?
Yeah.
I didn't really know that. I didn't know that.
So let's go pull, let me pull it. I'll go grab that contact. We want 133. Here we go. Shir HaMalo David. Hine matov manayim shevet achim gam yachad.
Wow.
Okay, that's it. Three psukim. And then that's the second to last one. The last one is Shir HaMalo Hine baruch hu Hashem kol Hashem hamdim b'beit Hashem. You're now sort of in this metaphor of going up the steps, you're now standing b'beit Hashem. And you get to the Yivarech Hashem Etzion, and then we get to Right, we gotta get to that point. So we got the spiritual steps to go up to. Get away from the lashon hara. Get away from the oppression, and we'll continue next time with three more Shir HaMaalot, including the Nei Matov.
Awesome. Thanks, Danny. It was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me, and let's stop.